WillowCast, a podcast by Schulich Women in Leadership.
Back to the fourth ever episode of WillowCast, a podcast hosted by Schulich Women in Leadership. I'm one of your co-hosts today. My name is Thea Nguyen. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm one of the first year reps on Will this year.
Hi, I'm your other co-host for today's episode. My name is Janelle Guerrero Martinez. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm the other first year rep on Will. Today's episode is all about taking risks in order to open opportunities, not only for yourself, but for others as well, and to promote growth. We're happy to welcome and like to thank our guest speaker, Nicole McNeil, CPA and president of MPAC, for joining us today. Nicole, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yes, thank you. And happy to be here on your fourth ever podcast. My name is Nicole McNeil. I go by she, her, and hers. And I'm the president of MPAC. And as you mentioned, I'm a CPA by trade, turned into president now.
Yeah. That's amazing. So first off, can I just say how grateful we are to have you here today? We had such a great conversation with you last time, and we can't wait to share it with all our listeners today. And I personally think it's like super impressive, like all your qualifications going from like being a CPA to a president, and being a CPA is something like I personally want to go into or like achieve that designation myself. And I know that's going to be like quite the journey. The first part of my journey is definitely right here at Schulich as a first year. And on the topic of being a first year, it's been quite the transition, not only because of COVID, but because of all the new kind of challenges I'm going to have to be faced with, having to like interact with people, having to take on all these team projects and workload. And it's definitely a lot different from compared to high school. Back in high school, we were definitely more like big fish in a small pond compared to now. We're like definitely like small fish in a big pond. In high school, it was definitely a lot easier to tell kind of where you were, like how you were doing in relative to others. But in university, everyone is like so similar, and there can be a lot of pressure to kind of like join clubs, become an executive, get those summer internships in order to kind of like put yourself out there. So as someone who like isn't alone probably in this feeling of constantly wanting to be a high achiever, I'd love to kind of know how your definition of success has kind of changed over time, like where it started to where it is now, and kind of have you always set the bar like really high in order to push yourself to succeed and kind of get to where you are now?
Well, thank you for the question. It wasn't until one of my professors actually at York inspired me in one of my introductory courses, and he said, for those of you in this lecture hall who are not sure what you want to do but you want to be in business, I encourage you to become an accountant. Because he said, you learn the fundamentals, you learn about business, and then it's always a good fallback plan. So you'll always be an accountant, but it gets your foot in the door. So I wasn't always the high achiever, at least at that point, you know, but the one thing that I remember is being inspired. So I was inspired by that professor and the way he spoke about it. And from there, your question of success, it's such a personal question. Like what really is success? And I think as you go through life, it changes. You know, sometimes success in university was just passing, make sure I pass the exam, make sure I get to the next step. As you progress through your career, I mean, you've got family and life that, you know, have to balance at the same time. And so, you know, sometimes it's big achievements of success. I know I set little goals along the way. So going through university and after university, I became a runner. So one of my successes was just being able to finish and run a 10K, and then it was run a marathon, and then it was qualify for Boston. But I always set manageable goals. So I know when I ran my first marathon, one of the things I said is, I just want to finish. And if I can finish, that's success. And then, you know, the next level of prize was if I could beat 4 hours, because I thought that would be pretty cool. And then the next level would be actually qualifying for Boston. So I think success is what you define it to be. Sometimes success is just making it through the day. So there's never been, and I don't know many people who have just had this clear path in front. They say they want to do this. Like, I think life is full of twists and turns and ups and downs. When you look backwards, it looks a little straighter. But going forward, I think you just have to just keep going and define your own levels of success. And sometimes they're big and sometimes they're small. And I think that's okay.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I think it's really interesting how you talked about making manageable goals. I think sometimes people think that the goal is only the final outcome. I think setting smaller goals really helps you track your progress and like what works and what doesn't work. And I think it's also a learning process to define your own success and celebrate like your individual path without being influenced by society or the world around you. Finding like your own success takes courage, which is something that like really resonates with Thea and I when we last spoke, how you mentioned courage and how it doesn't mean you're not scared, but you just do it anyways. Like you push through being scared and you get it done, especially in new environments. You know, Thea and I being in first year online, this is very new to us. They make it easy to doubt yourself, but really you just need to like trust yourself. With that being said, how do you focus on yourself and not others when the world has so many expectations of who you're supposed to be? And how do you accept your own unique path despite it not matching the standards of other people who are widely recognized in the public eye?
Yeah, you know what? As you get older, you just become a little bit wiser. And I think the one thing that I've learned is setting the big goals are great, but once you achieve them, then all of a sudden you move the marker and you're like, well, what's next and what's next? And it's a bit of a trap because then you have that feeling of disappointment. Well, I haven't achieved the next big goal. So I think if you can focus a lot just on your day-to-day and gratefulness, and I know what, you know, you've heard a lot about this and a lot of people are talking about it, but it is one of those best secrets out there, is just trying to enjoy every day, not wish your life away. Oh, I'm going to graduate in 4 years and then I'm going to be happy, right? Or, and then I'm going to accomplish this and then I'm going to be happy. Because if you keep doing that, you just keep moving the yardstick, but you have to try it anyway, right? As I said, as you get older, you get a little wiser. So for me, I did that. I set all the big goals. I need to get my CA. I need to get my first job. I need to run my marathon. I need to do all these things, and you just keep moving it. But I think the true sort of happiness and as you say, like all these societal pressures, is you just got to try and find joy in the day-to-day. I think you have to not underestimate the small things. Still set your goals, but make them your goals. Make them things that make you feel like you've accomplished something. And just the feeling of going through it is also an accomplishment, even if, you know, maybe you don't hit that goal, but look at how far you came before you started there. So I think that is something that, you know, I didn't know that when I was your age and at York, but it's something that you learn a little bit along the way.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely relate to that. This whole thing about small goals, I think it really helps keep you like motivated in the long run. I'm someone who's like likes to plan out my day. Like, this is what I want to do today. This is what I want to do. And I kind of feel disappointed when I don't get everything done. So yeah, I think it's definitely important for me to like kind of put aside like time to do these small things. And then in the long run, I'll get everything done. So I should be just kind of like happy with what I accomplished today. So kind of on the topic of acceptance of individuality and courage, personally, I'm like someone who kind of like mulls over things. I kind of like let it eat away at me. I'll make a mistake on a test or I'll do an interview and then I'll walk away from it like regretting having done something or regretting having said something. So I was just wondering, as someone who has gotten their CPA, who like is a president, you are making so many decisions in your everyday life and all your decisions kind of like impact the company. And so every time that you do something you regret, I was just wondering, how can one become more resilient as to not kind of let your past mistakes or regrets kind of define who you are in the moment and let it set you back or hold you back from your future achievements?
You know, I remember some advice that it was my sister-in-law that gave to me, and it was when I was studying, because as you know, going through for your CPA, it's just a year of just constant exams. And she said to me, just do your best that you can on that day. And so I really thought about that. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Like, do my best on that day. So in order to get there, obviously you have to prep. And, you know, I was running at the time and I had run my first marathon at that point. And I remembered the training. So it took me 4 years to run my first marathon, because I trained for year one and then I got injuries and I wasn't able to do it. Then I trained in year two and I got injuries and so on. So finally, by the fourth year, I was actually injury free and able to run it. But the whole point of training is you train. And then come race day, what they tell you is, I mean, there's nothing more that you can do. And it's the same thing on an exam day, right? There's nothing more that you can do on the day of your exam. There's nothing more that you can do on the day of your interview. But the point is, you train and you do your best. And then you show up and you do your best that day. I'm just going to do the best that I can. So I think that's the advice that I would share with people. And then to answer your question, don't beat yourself up after. You will, because most people listening to this are going to be high achievers and we all beat ourselves up. So you're going to have a little bit of that. But at the end of the day, if you did your best, I mean, stuff happens. Sometimes you win and sometimes you don't. But the times that you don't are just as important as the times that you do, because I actually think you learn more from your mistakes and failures than you do the successes, because those are hard and you reflect and you pivot and you adjust. It may take you some time and it may eat at your confidence, but you'll come back and you'll come back stronger. And if you made a mistake, you're hopefully not going to make that mistake again. So don't shy away from the failures. They're not fun. They hurt. They'll eat at you. But when you're on the other side, you'll look back and you'll say, like, some of the most hardest experiences of my life, during them, you wish they'd never happened. After, you say, you know what? I'm glad that happened, because I'm never going to let that happen again. So sometimes you're going to be successful and sometimes you're not. But that's okay. Just be courageous. Do your best and just do it. And I think that the world will thank you for being who you are and just trying.
It's really interesting that you talked about just trying your best and doing all you can do, because I think a lot of times people think that's not enough. Like, you put so much pressure on yourself that it's like they should be doing so much more. So I think just that simple idea of, like, show up for yourself, try your best on the day of, and, like, you know, you did all you can do is really important. And I also like how you talked about shifting your perspective instead of letting it hold you back. Focus on the learning outcome and how you can apply that for the future, because I really do think that's, like, beneficial. And that helps you kind of grow as a person as well.
Yeah, kind of like throughout your whole sharing of your experiences, kind of remind me of, like, this quote, try my best to live by, but, like, it's really hard to. The quote goes, it's not about being the best, it's about trying your best or doing your very best. I like to believe that I'm someone who, like, works super hard and, like, puts my all in everything. But even then, like, I can become a little unsatisfied when I don't get kind of those results. But, like, what you were saying really kind of struck a chord with me. When you look back at it, like, your successes are great and, like, it's fun to, like, celebrate them and kind of, like, share them with others. But what kind of, like, shapes you and makes you who you are today is really your failures. So kind of on the topic of, like, mulling over things and keeping stuff in your headspace, right now, because of COVID, everyone's kind of, like, really experiencing that impact. Everyone's kind of at home, and just love to know what MPAC is doing for its employees in the mental health space.
Absolutely. So I'll start by saying that my personal philosophy is all about people. It's people, it's culture. And, you know, MPAC has almost 2,000 employees across the province. And, you know, 80% of our costs are people. So everything we do revolves around people. And when this pandemic started, you know, I was just as uncertain and nervous as everybody else. But what I did is I used myself and the executives, we all used ourselves to say, well, if we're feeling it, everybody's feeling it. So let's not hide it. Let's just get in front of it. So we're doing exactly what we're doing here today with you. We host these sessions with all of our staff every week. When the pandemic first started, we did it 3 times a week. And we just got in front of them. We just said, listen, there's a pandemic happening. We don't have all the answers. We want you to be safe. So here's what you need to do. And then we'd come out 2 days later and say, okay, the government said this, and here's how we're reacting, and so on. And we just made it a conversation. I mean, obviously we can't have 2,000 heads on the screen. So it was mostly me and the executives, but everyone else was looking in, and they'd see the whites of my eyes. And they'd also see when I was tired, because it was exhausting as we were just trying to navigate. So that was our commitment, was to make sure that we communicated, probably over communicated. People were very appreciative of it. And it really helped with mental health. And we talked about mental health. We brought in speakers on mental health. We did mental health webinars, and we all sat and did them together. So we said, this is what it is. Let's not be ashamed. I came out and said, listen, I've been the most vulnerable CEO than I ever anticipated to be. And all I really did was just be a real person throughout the pandemic and be a real person today. And it really resonated with people. So we put it first and foremost with our staff. We're continuing to do that. We're also continuing to dialogue and tackle, you know, the big issues such as, you know, racial injustice and equity, diversity, and inclusion. And we're having open conversations. We're having employees lead that initiative within MPAC. So we're making sure that we're being our MPAC selves. And so we bring all of these issues to the forefront, and we ask staff, you know, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to hear? How do you want this to go? Tell us your questions. And we say, we may not have all the answers, but we'll address all the questions. And there's a lot of times, I mean, our staff are really, really smart. So they they're brave, and they ask what's on their mind. And sometimes, you know, they'll send a question in on Tuesday, and we're going live on Wednesday, and we'll say, like, this question came in, we're going to raise it because it was raised by you. We don't have the answer yet, but we will get back to you on it. So that's really what we're doing, is we're just dialoguing. as an organization, we're sharing, we're being vulnerable, and we're supporting each other. And that helps us then do our job.
Yeah, I think all of the initiatives you mentioned sound so amazing. And I think it's really cool that you guys have like an open dialogue and conversation about mental health. I think there's a lot of stigma around mental health. So the fact that you guys realize like the pandemic is hard for everyone, I think that offers a lot of support to your employees, which is really great. And a big part of mental health is knowing when to seek help. And because mental health is more internal than external, getting help, it makes people feel more vulnerable. And we know that's really important to you, as you were mentioning. But oftentimes vulnerability is viewed as weakness, and many people feel like they need to present themselves as a flawless person. So with that being said, how has vulnerability made you a better leader and affected your leadership style and your team? And maybe if you want to speak about how vulnerability does not equate to weakness.
You know what? Where has vulnerability been my whole life? Because it's been my greatest strength in all of this. So first of all, there's no shame in mental health. But I think it's a two-way. I think it's incumbent on the person to come forward and not see it as a weakness and ask for help. But I also think it's incumbent upon all of us to make a safe space for people so that they can come forward and they don't feel ashamed and they feel supported. And we need to do everything that we can so that people can come to work and be their best selves. So that was sort of my my philosophy going into it is, managers, you need to look out for your employees. Employees, you need to look out for each other and yourself. You know, and us as executives, we have to make sure that we break down the stigma around mental health, because everybody experiences it in some form or another, whether it's personal, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend. So like, none of us are immune from it. So let's just get that, you know, out of the way. So that's really how it all started. And then being vulnerable, absolutely a strength, because people resonate with people who are not flawless. Like, it's great to think someone's flawless. Nobody's flawless. All of us have good days and bad days. All of us have successes and failures. And just by being open about them, that's what actually inspires people. I'm sometimes more inspired by the people who have overcome something than I am the person who has, you know, appears to have this perfect life and this perfect trajectory, which, as we know, is not real. You can take the most famous athletes, the most famous actresses and actors and superstars, and everybody has a story. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned is we only know this much of someone's story, especially in the workplace, and especially all of you as students. Like, you think you know each other, but you really don't. You know what you see. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes and where that person came from. And I think you mentioned it earlier, like, our experiences shape us, good and bad. Our good experiences shape us, our bad experiences shape us.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that completely. You were saying how people kind of like identify more with people who have overcome things. And that is 100% true. People who are more vulnerable, people who have like overcome things, you kind of relate them back to your own life. And it is a lot of kind of like easier to see yourself within them and then kind of observe their journey, kind of use it to kind of push yourself to take on your own path, to kind of like deviate from the norm, because maybe you'll also encounter all these challenges, overcome them, and then hopefully you can also inspire someone else to kind of push forward. Another kind of like big thing was like, vulnerability is a strength. Like, you are definitely like the living embodiment of that. But I know it's like definitely really hard to do it. I don't know, for me personally, I'm like really used to not being vulnerable. And so I really envy you for being able to like kind of open up with others and kind of like share your experiences and all your struggles, because that's something I wish I could do more and something like I hopefully will be able to in the future.
You will. And you know, don't beat yourself up, because, you know, I didn't, when I was your age, I was not vulnerable either. Like, it's learned. And as I said, as you get older, you get a little bit more wisdom. But I would tell you, and I think most people are the same, you're more inspired by people's real stories than you are anything else. And own your story. Don't let other people define your story. Tell your story. And I think it makes people more interested in you and your journey and your path. So you will get there. But own it. Own every bit of path that you've had, every setback, every success, all of those make you who you are, and embrace them and share them. And don't ever be ashamed of them, because everybody has one. They just don't always share them.
That's so true. It's like so much easier to kind of like look at someone else and like admire what they've done. Definitely gonna have to practice like owning my story more, try to like present myself. That's kind of like the end of our like first segment about taking a chance on yourself. And the idea that taking a chance on yourself doesn't exclusively mean taking risks only to kind of promote your own growth. It's also kind of equally important, especially for like the betterment of everyone around you, to be able to take a chance on others, which is something that you kind of brought up with us last time. It's something we didn't really think about, because like when we were thinking about this podcast, thinking about talking with you, me and Janelle were both just kind of talking about and thinking about like, oh, how can we take a chance for ourselves? But when you brought up taking a chance on others, we were super interested. So that's kind of like where we're going to move on to.
Yeah. So the last time we spoke about this topic during our pre-call, Anthea and I were like really interested about it. It wasn't something we had thought about originally, because again, we didn't really think about taking a chance on others. It's like the idea that when you're competing, your allies can quickly become enemies, and how not wanting the failures of others to impact your own success. So with that being said, do you maybe want to speak a little bit about sabotage versus support, and how getting to where you are now, if you've experienced this, and like what you've observed and maybe learned from all that?
Yeah, absolutely. I forgot that we spoke about that. And I was like, where are you guys going with this? I don't remember. But yeah, no, especially on International Women's Day, right? Which is, we should all do our choose to challenge. So choose to challenge yourself and choose to challenge others. It's today's a day to celebrate like where we've come as women. And as you're right, it is supporting others. So I'll just share a couple things that I find help guide me and inspire me. So I saw a quote before that says, we rise by lifting others. And I think that is really, really important. Men and women, like the same, but especially with women, because you're right, in the workplace and even in school, women, it's almost like there has been historically this feeling that there can only be one person at the table. That's the woman, right? So then there's this competition that tends to happen. And it doesn't have to be. Like, I think we should be celebrating, you know, all women. And, you know, I saw something the other day that says, you know, I'm great and she's great too, or she's great and I'm great too. And that's so powerful to do something like that. So I think the story that I probably shared with you before was, you know, something, again, I said the hardest things in life sometimes shape you. And I had a boss who was a female boss, and I looked at her and I admired her. I thought, wow, like she's so smart and she's so accomplished. And, you know, I really hope she takes me under her wing. But unfortunately, she didn't feel the same way about me. You know, who knows why, you know, I can look back and come up with lots of different reasons, but, you know, she did not support me. And in fact, she made my life really, really difficult, and she bullied me. And so I was bullied, you know, as a 25-year-old who was, you know, young and, you know, very energetic, but it really, really broke my confidence, for a while, because nothing I could do, you know, was right in her eyes. So I knew that what I was doing was good work, but not for her. So I did everything that I could at the time, and I was young and inexperienced. And, you know, I went to HR and I approached her and I did all the things that I thought I could do to mitigate it. And I loved the job. And that was one of the worst parts, is I really loved the job and the people, everything except that. And then I realized this is not going to fix itself. And, you know, this person, she's not going to change and it's not going to work out. So I left. But when I left, I said to myself, I never want to make anyone feel the way she made me feel. It was awful. And it took me a long time to sort of get over it and build up my confidence. But then I met some really great people and women who took me under their wing and, you know, really tried to help me and inspire me. And, you know, it took a number of years, but I, you know, I moved myself out of that. But what I also did, and this is why at the time, you know, I thought, why me, poor me, and so on. I now look back and think, thank God that happened, because I will never be that person and I will never make people feel that way. And in fact, I said to myself, if I ever get the opportunity where I'm in management or I have a platform, I'm going to do whatever I can to stop that and to make sure that doesn't happen on my watch, because it is just awful. And so fast forward to today, now I'm so blessed and fortunate to, you know, be the president of a leading edge organization. And now I tackle bullying in the workplace.
Yeah. And it must have been really hard for you to be bullied by someone you looked up to and someone that really inspired you and was hoping would mentor you. But I think it's interesting the way that you were able to take that and now transfer that into your leadership style and how you make like an effort and an emphasis on like a no bullying policy and how to help with that. So with that being said, and like on this idea of like support versus sabotage, what do you think are the best ways for women to support women in the corporate world?
Yeah, I was thinking about this morning, actually. And, you know, there's so many different powerful women who've come out, like you had the whole lean in piece. And so I think it's, you know, it was resonating with me, this whole choose to challenge. So, you know, what is the challenge that I'm going to choose in all of this? And so what I came up with, and this is hot off the press, I haven't even said this out loud yet, but, you know, obviously we have to own our space at the table. Right. So as women, sometimes you felt like you didn't belong, but we belong. We belong at the table. Everyone belongs at the table. But I also think you have to make room for others at the table. And that's going to be the challenge that I'm going to give myself is to support people who need, again, that rising by lifting others. People need a hand up sometimes. And if you can offer that, that's your job. Like that's your doing your part. You know, I'm really blessed and really fortunate to be where I am. And I don't take that for granted. So anytime that I can help another employee, another person, you know, it's not just stopping sabotage. It's making an environment where people feel safe, where people feel included, where people feel that they can be their most authentic self. So it's, again, it's not just stopping the sabotage, but it's trying to create the environment, because, you know, at the end of the day, we are all going to have successes and failures throughout our life. And let's just support each other in it. We're all human.
I also think people are hesitant because they don't think that there could be multiple leaders. But I think it's important to realize that stepping back and letting other people lead and like giving others the opportunity to grow and develop their leadership skills doesn't make you any less of a leader. So with that being said, Nicole, how do you know when to step back and let other people lead? And has it ever made you feel like less of a leader if someone has like outperformed you? Maybe if you want to like address that and encourage others who are hesitant on letting other people lead.
There is no one who's singularly responsible and successful on any one thing in the workforce. So there is nothing that happens at Impact that is done by one person, and surely not me. Everything is a group effort. And so you need to work with people. You need to figure out how to bring everybody up as a group, depending on, you know, obviously when you get into the workforce that there's roles and hierarchies and so on. And, you know, sometimes there are people who will jump into the leadership spot, and there are a lot of people who have a lot of valuable things to say, but they don't, because they don't feel comfortable. And so it's harder earlier on in your career if you're one of those people and you don't have the title and so on. But at the end of the day, it's the success of the group. It's not any one person's success. So you're never going to get away from it. So just start figuring it out now. And then as you do get older and wiser, and do have more senior roles, look to the other people who aren't speaking and ask them, hey, Janelle, I'd really appreciate your insights on this. I haven't heard from your perspective. And sometimes that's all you need. You're dying to say something. You're just waiting for how do I get into the conversation? And this is what diversity is. It's diversity of thought. And, you know, having the voices that are the loudest are not always going to get you the best result. It's having all the voices and all the perspectives and doing it in such a way that everybody can share. It doesn't mean that any one answer is going to dictate, but everyone shares. And then at the end, you come up with this solution that is a yes and. So yes and this, yes and that. And then you, as a team, come up with something that is so much stronger than any one person or any two people could have come up with on their own.
Yeah, I really like how you talked about like lifting people up and asking the people who may be a little bit more quiet or not as vocal about their ideas, because it's really like, it's very true that one person's idea, like it may be really good, but when you mix everyone's idea, because at the end of the day, you go to school, you go to work like with your whole self and you're made up of all your experiences. So I think when everyone's able to bring in their experiences and like their skill set, you really do end up having a much better outcome compared to just one person. I also think other people are able to bring in things like maybe you wouldn't have accounted for or even thought of. And I think that diversity of thought and diversity of ideas really does make a team stronger. But yeah, that concludes our podcast for today. And we want to thank you, Nicole, so much for coming on WillCast, taking the time out of your day to share your experiences with us. I know Thea and I and all of our listeners have learned so much about taking a chance on yourself and other people. And it's something we're definitely going to apply to our future.
Excellent. Well, thank you for having me. I can't believe it flew by this quickly. So yeah, definitely take a chance on yourself, take a chance on everyone, and choose to challenge. That's our challenge for today.